This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member, also member of the Criminal Justice Committee. J.P., I watched the committee meeting the other day. It was kind of interesting. It went off on a number of tangents. Obviously, a friction about budgeting and money being spent and alike is was the topic of conversation. Your thoughts? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. I mean, essentially, I think the takeaway from the meeting is that, A, the sheriff refused to take full accountability for what happened. And the real heated exchange, which you're probably referencing, is we want to know how money is being spent in the office before they ask for more money. Because as you know, we had to defund a variety of infrastructure projects to afford phase three of the jail. And ultimately the sheriff's position was, I don't have to tell you anything. When I say, give me money, you are required to give it to me. And that's kind of where the tension was and where it left. That's how the meeting ended, really. That they refuse to be transparent, to have accountability for how they're spending money. And we have concerns with it because obviously we're going to give whatever money is necessary to fund our justice system. But if you're not transparent with how you're spending money, we have no idea if you are misspending money or if they are as gratuitous spending that, if it were curbed, would lower the amount we have to take from other projects and other resources to help you make your department work properly.
So how do you resolve this? It would seem to me that, the sheriff is the keeper of the jail. The maintenance and the upkeep of the jail is the obligation of the city. It would seem to me that there's somewhat of a simple solution, is that the maintenance engineers and all the others would, because you're responsible for the maintenance, work out a situation that you provide the maintenance engineers. They document everything. You know exactly where it's going to be spent. You know exactly right where the cost. And y'all control the purchasing and the procurement process, and you get the job done. I mean, if it's going to be finger pointing, and you have no control, I'd rather have control and own it and do it.
I agree. I mean, essentially, as you know, one of the big issues we had was the sheriff is not in our brass system. Because they're not in our brass system, and their system is so archaic and so easy to mislead and to allow fraud to take place. As you may recall, in December of last year, three employees stole $90,000 just by making up a company and writing checks to themselves. In any modern system where there are checks and balances and requirements to even be a vendor in the system, it makes it impossible to pull stunts like that. So for us, you're right. I mean, we could treat the jail like we treat the courthouse or any other facility where state officials are in a city building where we do all the maintenance, we do all the contracting, we control how money's spent. And that's been a tension, really. As you know, our criminal justice system in New Orleans is very different in that we have criminal court and civil court judges. So we have rich dad, who are the civil court judges, who are sitting on tremendous amounts of money, and poor dad, where we have criminal court judges that we have to fund out of our budget, where in most parishes, because the judges are consolidated, they pay for themselves. As you know, in most parishes, the sheriff is the, in addition to being the warden, they're also the chief law enforcement arm. They are sales tax collector. They have their own revenue streams. Our sheriff has very few revenue streams, and the city is almost always on the hook to make that place function. To your point, the easiest solution would be to take the jail from the sheriff. But as you know, the challenge we have in fighting with the sheriffs are in the state constitution. So fights to remove things from their sphere of authority, they become legal fights. And I certainly hope, I mean, the issue would be if the sheriff would voluntarily submit and pay things through our processes, it would at least give the public and the council the comfort that transparency is taking place and that money is being spent properly. But the impasse right now is the sheriff does not want to do that, yet the sheriff wants more money. Now, that being said, with the investigation going on with Liz Merle, with DOC, with the inspector general, they're going to have recommendations, Newell. And I think one of the recommendations that's likely to come out of this, based upon just the first rumblings we're hearing right now, is that the state is going to get involved, and the state may weigh in on how the sheriff and how the jail functions going forward and who's in charge of paying for the facility and maintaining the facility. Because the reality is, yes, there needs to be money done to repair the locks, but she hasn't shown that she's been spending the money properly to repair the locks. We don't know where the money goes or how it's spent.
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue is, you know, as an independent elected individual, you are a single reporting entity. And I talked about this in a monologue the other day. And I understand that the city's desire to kind of treat them as an agency of the city makes it a lot easier. You could mandate a number of different things. This friction point has been there since I worked down there in 1977. Nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed. I mean, it is, and I'm also very careful to tell people that this tension between the sheriffs, the DA, the clerk, the criminal clerk, and the criminal court judges has always been there. And that because the city kind of chose decades, almost 50 years ago or more, to have two types of judges. At that point, we had two types of sheriff. We have all these different weird things. The opportunities for those elected offices to have direct agency and being responsible to the public, like Newell and Jefferson, if y'all want more money, the sheriff goes out and asks the public for money. In Orleans, the sheriff kind of does. You saw the most recent millage that passed by two votes, but that millage itself is a fraction of the money needed to run that jail. The vast majority of it comes from the same coffers we use to fix the streets, which is not normal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there has to be an overarching strategy and plan that's implemented as these structures get older. You know, the structure of a jail is subject to a lot of abuse. You have recalcitrant individuals that are the residents there, so to speak, as this sheriff likes to refer to them. But the reality is that they love destroying property. So the maintenance cost of these facilities are going to be very, very high. Even if you're running a great shop, it's what happens, you know, and it becomes a big, big problem. What I don't particularly care for, and I know y'all are frustrated with it, is that when something goes bad, all of a sudden now we have the finger pointing, you know. Were the locks faulty? Were the cameras working? Was this, you know, operating? Was that, you know, I'd put in request, you know, she said she had put in requests for years and nobody seems to be able to find them. And, you know, and we're going round and round and round. And then Gilbert Montagno goes to the mic and says, well, we've increased your budget by 25% over the last 5 years. It's a big number. I mean, you know, so back to what you said, where is the money?
No, I mean, whenever the sheriff has asked for money reasonably, we've tried our best to accommodate her, even at the expense of other things. And the challenge is, for example, like you said, with the locks, it's now come out that the request for the locks and the improvements was at the Regional Planning Commission and hadn't even come back to the city for approval yet. So it's like you saw from the day that the
that the breakout happened, the first thing any responsible sheriff would have done is said, here's what I've identified early on that was done wrong. The focus will be on apprehending these individuals. This is my responsibility. What really set this off on the wrong foot is that is not what this sheriff did. She said, this is not my fault, that it's everybody else's fault. And by the way, my opponents are somehow involved. And I think that when she started from that position where you don't take accountability, as I said previously, other sheriffs have four or five jobs they have to do. Our sheriff has one and a half. They serve lawsuits on people, and they're the warden. You have one job. And if you can't do your one job right, it's like, well, that's on you. That is 100% on you first. Now, do you need help? Yes, you need help. Ask for help. But when something of this magnitude happens, I'll tell you, we've seen other jail breakouts across this metro area before. I have never seen a sheriff blame everyone else. Never seen it till this one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Right. Now, there's no doubt, I mean, that there's issues there. But let me ask you, you just said something that kind of struck me odd. Why would a request for locks in a jail go to the Regional Planning Commission?
No idea. That was a report that came out, I saw on television like 2 days ago. I mean, honestly, the thing that I find very telling in this entire debate is that, and I showed on one of my little videos kind of the spreadsheet we get from the sheriff every month or every quarter, and it's complete nonsense. It's a one-page spreadsheet saying we spent this much money on operations. Well, Newell, you know how many things fall under an operation heading. We don't know if you've got seven contractors all doing nothing or all doing the same thing in that kind of spreadsheet. There's no level of minutia. There's no level of detail. And part of the challenge we have is that when we want to even if we want to give you more money, because we have to deappropriate existing things to do it, you have to provide enough information showing that you are doing what's necessary to get the work done. The most telltale exchange that happened between Council Member DeRusso and Council Member Moreno was when Helena said, you got a $200,000 special fund. Will you commit to put that towards the locks? And the sheriff said, no, that's my money. And when Chairman DeRusso of Budget said, well, you just passed the millage. Will you dedicate some of that revenue, do some bonding for some improvements? Well, first off, her CFO didn't know what a revenue bond was and that she could do that. And second, after Gilbert explained what a revenue bond was and that they could do it, they said they didn't want to do that. And it's like you can't on one hand scream emergency and declare money from the city when you have revenue streams that are at your fingertips you will not touch, because you want to keep that money in your closed system.
Breaking news, a fourth woman has been arrested and accused of helping New Orleans jails escapees, according to NOLA.com. The numbers are racking up, and actually, I think as these five are out, the longer we go, the more you're going to find folks helping these folks. I hope the DA proactively prosecutes these people, and I hope he looks for jail time, because the message needs to be sent. This will not be the last jailbreak, and you know, unless there's accountability out there, you'll continue to have folks helping these folks try and evade the police. The longer they're out there, the more likely somebody's going to get killed, and it's a shame.
In my conversations with our DA, he has been very clear and very, at least on the front end, saying that he will absolutely prosecute everyone involved to the fullest extent of the law. So that's what he says. Hopefully that's what he'll do. But to your point, I agree. I mean, the combination of the high reward will eventually get many of these people caught through tips. But you're right. These are some very violent, very dangerous people. And every day, every hour, they remain free. And the more desperate they get to remain free, the more likely we're going to have a tragedy.
Yeah. JP, what do you hope to have come out of this? There's going to be a lot of independent investigations. You got the IG looking at stuff. You got the AG looking at stuff. You got the legislative auditor looking at stuff. DOC looking at stuff. I'm not sure whether or not the DA is conducting an investigation. I thought he needs to recuse himself because he's already publicly supporting an opponent to the sheriff. I think the optics are bad. There's so many other people involved. He wouldn't be missed. Just handle the prosecution of the arrests that are made and get out of the looking at what's going on in the jail. But that's just my opinion. How do we bring all of this to where it's in a cohesive, coherent fashion that can be presented? I asked the AG the other day. I think she's going to take the lead. I hope she is. I don't know if you've had any conversations or do you have any concerns about that?
I don't. I mean, at the end of the day, the most competent group of people to do this type of investigation is Department of Corrections, because they'll be comparing apples to apples. I mean, you can have our local IG in, you can have anyone else in, but other than having the other sheriff's Raider jail, DOC is the best place you can go. What I want to see is an independent report that tells me exactly what is wrong with the jail and also gives us a bill independently of what it will cost to fix it. What I really want to see come from this, and I think will likely come from DOC, probably from the IG, probably from legislative auditor, and probably from the attorney general, is a fundamental change on how the jail is funded and who's responsible for it. And to your point, I mean, the easiest thing to do might be having all the contracting go through the city of New Orleans and not go through the sheriff, and the sheriff focus on managing her staff and manning the jail. Because honestly, the most dangerous thing in this whole situation is there's millions upon millions of dollars of taxing authority that the sheriff has inside the jail. And if you don't have a forward-facing portal like Brass to track contracting, you don't know who's getting contracts, what kind of contracts they are, and how they're going to end up. Now, if she were like every other sheriff, where she had a closed system as to how her funding was being operated on, she would be responsible for managing her own budget, and there would be no piggy bank next door she could break to fill the gaps. What makes managing our sheriff's office so difficult is if she goes over budget, she just comes to the council and demands more money. That's not what other sheriffs do. They have their own budgets, and they're responsible directly to taxpayers for their performance and how much money they have. So to your point, if we're going to be at fault if the jail is not properly maintained, we'd rather be in charge of maintenance, in my opinion. I mean, if we're in charge of the maintenance, we have the contract with whatever the Johnson's control or whoever. If we're in charge of the HVAC, we have the contract with MCC or whoever. We are responsible for it. We know those contracts are being procured on lowest bid or best practices, and we can have that accounting in a public way. We have no idea who she's contracting with at this point. And if we're going to be on the hook to fix it, we need to be more involved in how it's managed. Now, that being said, I mean, it kind of gets to a larger question that, if you've noticed, in every election cycle, when sheriffs are running to be sheriff or running for re-election, they really do convolute Newell with the idea that they're like other sheriffs. Every sheriff who runs for office says, I'm going to fight crime in New Orleans. You and I both know they can't fight crime in New Orleans. Their role is to be the warden. And I would really appreciate during this cycle if these sheriffs focus on how they're going to run the jail better and that be the part of the campaign and not try to tell people that they're going to have sheriffs doing proactive patrols in neighborhoods, because they all say that and none of them ever do it because it's not their job. So fortunately, in the midst of this entire debacle,
You need a manager. It's not unlike, you know, thinking about a city manager where you have someone that's got the expertise in running an organization. And, you know, jails are very complex, but it's all about management. And if you're not a strong manager, if you don't have significant training in managing, it's not rocket science, right? But it's managing. And that's the breakdown here. I mean, it's so evidently clear. And, you know, one of the things that I was going to say, I hope that DOC ends up doing an operational audit, because your financial audit really doesn't reach its highest and best use unless it lays on top of an operational audit. And you never know whether or not you're getting the bang for your buck that you're putting up for that jail and what you should and should not be funding until there's an operational audit that's actually conducted inside that jail. Now, I don't know that the sheriff's going to be in favor of that, but I don't know that she has much choice at this point in time.
No, I mean, from everything I understand in my conversations with LSP and with DOC and the like, I have every confidence that they are doing an operational audit, and that will be part of what they present to all of us in the public when it's over with. But to your point, like, my biggest concern, like going back to it, is we need to be evaluating candidates for sheriff based upon, as to your point, based upon their plan for the jail and their managerial experience managing people. Because at the end of the day, what should be happening is that a person who is running for warden of the city of New Orleans needs to have a clear vision for what they're going to do with the jail. They need to have a clear team of people they're going to hire to do it, because the turnover at the jail under this particular administration, under Sheriff Hudson, has been ridiculous. The turnover at the highest levels has been significant and constant. That is not good at a jail. I mean, you know,
it's not unique to her jail. I mean, it's not unique to her jail. In all fairness to her, that's a situation that exists across this country. It's a hard place to work, and we totally underpay jailers.
I'm not talking about Newell, the people who are working in the jail. I'm talking about the upper management. That's what I'm talking about. As far as the turnover, you're right. I mean, in this whole country, you have private companies paying ridiculous amounts of money for private prisons that can't find a person. That is a constant battle we're going to have to deal with. But the upper management, the people that are directly under her or at the highest levels getting paid the largest amounts of money, that rotation at the upper level, I mean, when you talk about managing a prison, you need some operational experience. And when your turnover at the highest levels is this robust, no one has institutional knowledge at all at that point.
Yep. And it's all about stability. Stability is a good thing for sure. As always, we appreciate the conversation with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. Thank you so much. We know you're busy. Have a great Memorial Day weekend with your family, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.